This morning I mentioned how we become what we behold. You know, what you watch, what you think on, what you speak on, what you worship. If we want to be conformed into the image of Christ, if we want to look like Jesus, amen, then we've got to focus, we've got to think on, we've got to speak on, we've got to dwell on Him. We need to behold Him. We need to seek His face. When Moses was up on the mountain and he had the encounter with God and he came down shining like the sun and they had to put a veil over his face, you know, because of the glory. It was a fading glory. But now we're in a much better covenant today where we have access. The veil in the temple's been rent. It's been opened. Amen. The way into the holiest has been opened to you and I. So now we can come by faith in the blood of Christ into the very throne of our Father. Amen. And receive mercy and find grace. Amen. To help us. Amen. And so as we behold the Lord, we are being transformed, amen, into that same glorious image from what? Glory to glory, from faith to faith. So what you behold is what you're going to look like. Now, when Jesus gave us the two greatest commandments, the Pharisees were testing him and they said in Matthew 22:36, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus said in verse 37, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." And then he said, "On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Romans 13:8 says, "Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, all are summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law." What do we need to do today? We need to operate and live and abide in the law of love, the law of the Spirit in Christ. We are to walk in the Spirit, amen? Because the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. All the good graces, all the good fruit is really namely out of what? Out of God, who is love. So it's really the fruit of Jesus. When we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, it's the fruit of Jesus, amen? It's the fruit of God. And so what happens is the enemy is trying to get us to focus on what's broken, on what's wrong, of what's not right around us. Are you with me? Not only around us, but what's wrong and what's broken in us. He wants us to dwell on negativity, negative things. If we're constantly consumed, let me give you an example. If the person who's struggling with an addiction is constantly just worried about, thinking about, dwelling on this problem, this addiction I have, guess what? You're giving power to the addiction. It magnifies itself because you're beholding the addiction and not the solution, who is Christ. So we're not to meditate or think on the law in the sense that I'm going to be the agent to bring it to pass or to fulfill it or to complete it. I am to simply love God and love others because Christ has already fulfilled the requirements of the law on my behalf. I am to now walk in the mercy or the grace of God. You cannot live under law and grace at the same time. If you try to live under law and grace at the same time, you will constantly be defeated. Because we cannot, by our own merits, by our own actions, by our own willpower, live a life, amen, that's going to somehow earn credit or merit with God. No. Why do we obey the Lord? Why do we please the Lord? Why do we serve the Lord? Well, we do it for His joy. We don't do it as a means of getting right with God, because then we would be nullifying the power of the cross. We would be bypassing the cross if it was up to me to do it. And so at the time when Paul wrote, the Judaizers were trying to get the people who were putting faith in Christ, the simple faith in Christ and what he's accomplished for them, receiving the grace of God, receiving, amen, the mercy of God, walking in the joy and righteousness and peace of the Holy Spirit. They were trying to say, yeah, well, there's more to it than that, brothers. You need to also do all these commandments and do all these things and be circumcised, and you also need to live according to the law of Moses. And so they were becoming confused and they were starting to lose their victory because the devil is constantly trying to get you and I to take our eyes off Jesus and put them on ourselves as being the agents to take care of ourselves, to fix our problems. If I just work a little harder at this, maybe I'll get a little better. And it's this self-improvement mentality that keeps us defeated. The only thing that avails anything in God's sight is a new creation. The only thing that's acceptable to him is the new creation. Not a patching up of the old man, but the new man in Christ. That's acceptable to God. Your new identity in Christ is what he has already received. We need to live out of our new man, our new identity, the new you in Christ. And no longer try to live in the flesh realm of trying to somehow be good enough. And I'm willing to bet that every one of us in here tonight has been caught in that trap a few times. And how many have discovered it doesn't work? How many discovered that you live in fear, you live in insecurity, you live in condemnation? When you are taking your eyes off Jesus and you're like, I'm working, God's up there somewhere and I'm working for him and I'm doing all these things for him. Are you with me? How many know that God does not have to come down from heaven? He's given us his Holy Spirit to dwell within us. All the grace you need is given to you in Christ. The question today is, are you in Christ? If you're in Christ, then all the resources of heaven are available to you in Christ to have life and peace, to have victory. But you got to get your eyes off you. That's what you said this morning, isn't it? He said, God delivered me from myself. God had to deliver me from me. Is there a witness in here tonight? I was my own worst enemy. And even when I came to Jesus, yeah, I experienced God's grace is touching my life and there was excitement, there was joy, there was zeal, but I was still kind of like back and forth with, you know, well, yeah, how much do I do and how much does he do? And, you know, has anybody beside myself been there? And you had victory for a while when you were working it out, when you were doing it, but then eventually it just, you failed again. And then when you're down, guess who comes along and kicks you while you're down? You'll never amount to anything. You'll never be a victor. You'll never be an overcomer. You are already an overcomer in Christ. What you need to know is what is true about you in Christ. It's a battle of truth. If you don't know the truth, you're going to live in bondage. If you know the truth, you're free. Condemnation, huh? I don't have to accept condemnation. Why? Christ has set me free from that. Why did he set us free? So that we could serve him. We could serve him with a clear conscience. We could walk in joy. We can walk in peace. We can walk in his righteousness. We can enjoy abundant life. Come on. It's a promise. Are we having abundant life? If we're not walking and abiding in his abundant life, folks, we're living a dysfunctional life as a believer. And so what does the enemy do? He tries to get us to be religious. He says, if you do this, this and 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 this, then you'll be a little better. Come on, patching up, just patching things. A little stucco over there, it's, you know, it only sticks for a little while because it was my works. Christ has already completed the job. He's fulfilled all righteousness. In Christ alone, I place my trust. And I find my glory. I'm going to glory in the cross. Amen? In every victory, let it be said of me, my source of strength, my source of hope is Christ alone. Therefore, I'm no longer comparing myself with my brothers and sisters and judging my brothers and sisters and looking for what's broken and what's wrong in them. What I need to do is love. This is what he told us to do. Love one another. And when you love someone, then at times that means you need to warn someone. But you always must be motivated by God's love when you do so. Otherwise, you're operating in a pious, self-righteous spirit called a religious spirit that compares you to others and says, they're not as spiritual as I am. Look how spiritual I am. I pray, I fast, I read my Bible, I worship for an hour. We get proud of ourselves. And the enemy's behind it saying, yeah, ain't you something? Ain't you something? Ain't you something? Why? Because he knows that's the way down. Come on. The next thing is down on your face again. We need to be like the publican who beat his chest and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I glory in the cross. I glory in what you, who you are, Jesus, and what you've accomplished for me. Not in what I can do. I don't have to boast about my accomplishments or, you know, even the things that we do that are good, folks. Sometimes we get proud about that, you know. Even people who consider themselves to be very humble can be proud of the fact they're so humble. This morning I mentioned how the devil wants to keep us focused on the evil in our lives. And why is that? Because he knows we will become what we are beholding. In 2 Corinthians 3, in verse 18, it says, but we all, with unveiled face, not as Moses who had the veil, but in the new covenant, because of the blood, we can come confidently before the Father. We can come being covered, amen, in the blood of Christ, acceptable before him. We can come with confidence, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. What do we need to be beholding? The problems, our sins, our failures, our shortcomings? No, we need to be beholding the glory of God. When you focus on the glory, when you're looking for him, when you're seeking him, you're not living in fear. You're not living in condemnation. When we worship God together, come on. You get into this place of this happy place in God. It's like, wow, life is good in the God zone. Come on. God's trying to tell us, you don't have to wait to church to do that. You're supposed to walk in that place. Yes. Because you are the temple of the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of God dwells within you. So wherever you go, you have the glory of God with you. Amen? Amen. And so you have that resource, hallelujah, to access the throne of the Father by the Spirit. How? By faith. Even as it says in Romans 10, the word is nigh you even in your mouth, the word of faith that we preach. Even as one would believe in their heart, amen, that Christ was risen from the dead, that God raised Jesus from the dead, and confess with your mouth. Are you hearing this tonight? We've got to know how to use this member in the right way. The Lord Jesus, confessing the Lord Jesus, you shall be saved. You will become who you behold. If you behold Jesus, you will become like him. If you behold the devil, obviously you become like him. If you behold the world and the things of this world, you'll become like the world. You'll be corrupted by the world. But if you're beholding Jesus, you'll become more and more like him. And that's what matters to God, is that we have this new image. Amen. We shall also bear the image of the heavenly, even as we bear the image of the earthly. We want to have the image of Jesus. Amen. So when God sees you, he's going to say, there's my son, there's my daughter. Oh, I recognize you. Why? Because you've been abiding with me. Already in the Spirit, we've been united. Already in the Spirit, we've had fellowship. We've had time. It's not like, who are you? Come on, folks. Jesus said that's what it's going to be like for some people who are very busy with religious activity even. He's going to say, who are you? I don't know you. They were religious people, even some operating in the anointing of God, and yet they did not know God. There are people who've learned how to tap into the things of God and yet not really know or love God. What we focus on. And I mentioned this morning, folks, you know as well as I do, that does not mean we ignore our sins. But it means that when we are aware of them, we come to Jesus. We come to the cross. Amen. We say, Lord, thank you for your blood. I confess my sin and I receive your forgiveness. I don't earn it. I receive. We're receivers. And you cannot love God until you first receive God. When you receive love, you will love. You can't love unless you first receive his love. We love him because he first loved us. So worship in spirit and in truth. Beholding him. Drawing near to him. Seeking not just his hand or the handout, but seeking the Lord himself. Looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Beholding him, the eternal one, and being transformed into his likeness. What do we see in the moon at night? We see a reflection of the invisible sun. You and I are the light of the world. We are to reflect the invisible God. Amen? As what? The moon faces the glory of the sun. As we face the S-O-N, amen, we also will bear the image and the likeness and the glory of the sun. You will become what you behold. One of Satan's strategies, obviously, is to make us proud. And this morning I read from 1 Corinthians 13, which talks about people who are doing all the right things, even good things, you know, speaking in tongues of men and of angels, you know, doing many charitable works, even to the degree where they're being martyred for Christ. And yet if they have not love, it's all for nothing. What is the greatest commandment of all? Love. Why would we do Christian service if it wasn't in love? Why would you do it? Maybe as an attempt to appease our conscience? I've been there, done that. Why would you want to serve the Lord if it wasn't in love? Sometimes people serve the Lord for money, don't they? There's some people in the pulpit doing that, right? How about pride? Yeah? Seeking a name for ourselves. How about performance? How come sometimes we do things, even good things, so that we get recognition for good things? But Jesus said, when you have, you know, served the master, then he said, you sit down and you say, well, I was only doing what I was supposed to do. You know, we need the heart of a servant. We need to understand that I'm to live for his pleasure now. I want to live for his joy. Why do we serve God? We're supposed to serve him for his joy. How many want to put a smile on the face of Jesus? How do we do that? By believing him, by trusting him, by loving him, right? Believing what he said, believing the truth. I believe you, Lord. Ah, that makes me happy, he says. You believe me. You believe that what I tell you really is true. There is therefore now no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. But then it goes on to say, as we abide in him, in the Spirit, amen, for the Spirit of life in Christ has set us free. Romans 8, it set us free from the law of what? Sin and death. Life and peace is only in the Holy Spirit. It's not in activities for God. Now, unfortunately, folks, there's a lot of us believers that can get caught up in activities and busyness and lose Jesus somewhere in all of that. I got to watch it myself because I'm like a chicken with his head cut off. You know, I'm just running around and then it's like I need time just to kind of settle down, you know, and get refreshed and refocus and understand I'm doing this for his joy. It's not a job. It's a joy. When I said yes to Jesus, I understood at that time, you know, that I wasn't going to just work for God, but I was going to walk with God. The religious spirit is working for God. The religious spirit is performing for God. And performing means hypocrisy. The Pharisees were hypocrites because they knew what to say. They knew how to pray. They knew the scriptures. They did all the Christian activities. And yet their hearts were far from God. He says, you're just like a whitewashed tomb. You know, on the outside you appear clean, but inside you're full of dead men's bones. You didn't have love. You didn't have the substance. You didn't have the reality, which was Christ in you, the hope of glory. And because of their pride, because they were caught up by this demonic religious spirit, they could not see past their performance and recognize that the only hope that they had was the one that was standing before them, trying to get their attention and say, listen, I'm the one you've been preaching about. I'm here. But they were blinded by their pride. Many, not all of them. Some did come and some did believe in Jesus. But it's a religious spirit that was behind that. And it was putting these unbearable burdens upon the people of performance and trying to. And Jesus said, listen, you're all stressed out trying to live good enough. Just come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. Quit worrying about everything. Don't take no thought for tomorrow. What you're going to wear, what you're going to eat. He's saying you're too stressed out. You need to come to me so you can find rest for your soul. I came that you might have life and life more abundantly. Abide in my love. Come to me and abide in me in my love. And he spoke to Jerusalem and he said, oh, how many times I've longed to gather you to myself as a hen, you know, would gather her chicks. But you would not. And sometimes, you know, folks, God is calling out to us. God is saying, come and refresh yourself in me. Come and rest in me. Come and enjoy the abundance of life that I died to give you. And we don't because we're too preoccupied with activity. Vain activity, even good things that are not right things and things that take up our time and spend us needlessly. When God says, come and rest. This religious spirit seeks to get us to hold on to a form of godliness. In other words, it's not in the power of God that we live and abide, but it's in, again, a form of that where we can speak Christianese just right. We have the right terminology. We can impress people when we come to church. We're always like, yeah, oh, life is so good. I'm just so spiritual, you know. And if we're not real, and if we pretend to be who we're not, will never become who we're supposed to be. And if we don't understand that we must seek the Lord, we must turn to the Lord. Whenever anyone turns to the Lord, it says that the veil of blindness is removed from their eyes. And they'll begin to behold Him, the Holy One. And the Holy One will make you holy. Because you can't work hard enough to make yourself holy. You can't live a clean enough life to make you holy. The only way you're going to be holy is by the blood of Jesus and coming into His presence, amen, and abiding in the Holy One. Holiness is God in me. He's my holiness, according to 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30, the end of that chapter. I talked about Paul this morning as well, how he was so zealous for God, you know. He thought he was doing the right thing, and he was a religious man. You know, he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, and he was persecuting Christians. And you know, in the church, folks, there are Christians persecuting Christians today. Come on. And it's the religious spirit that will bring persecution on other Christians. And people that operate in a religious spirit cannot understand or tolerate people who walk in grace. Now, when I say grace, it does not mean this sloppy agape stuff where people say, oh, it's the grace of God. I can do what I want. No, no. The grace of God has appeared to all men, teaching us to deny ungodliness. Right? Titus tells us that. And worldly lusts. So when you're really walking in the grace of God, you're walking in love. And when you love God, you don't do things to grieve Him. We live in love. We abide in love as we love Jesus, as we seek to bring joy to our King. We do what we do for His joy and not for some type of position with Him. In Galatians 4:22, it says, the scripture says that Abraham had two sons. Galatians chapter 4, verse 22. One from his slave wife and one from his freeborn wife. The son of the slave wife was born in a human attempt to bring about the fulfillment of God's promise. There it is again. A human attempt to bring about the fulfillment of God's promise. We are children of promise. We live by the promises of God. But the son of the freeborn wife was born as God's own fulfillment of His promise. Remember when they were past childbearing age? Sarah became pregnant, right? It was a supernatural conception. It was impossible, humanly speaking. But it was a promise that God gave. And God is a promise keeper. The problem is they created, amen, through Hagar and Ishmael. By their own attempts to fulfill God's promise because they became impatient on waiting on God. These two women serve as an illustration of God's two covenants. The first woman, Hagar, represents Mount Sinai, where people received the law that enslaved them. And now Jerusalem is just like Mount Sinai in Arabia, because she and her children live in slavery to the law. But the other woman, Sarah, represents the heavenly Jerusalem. She is the free woman, and she is our mother. As Isaiah said, rejoice, O childless woman, you who have never given birth, break forth into a joyful shout, you who have never been in labor. You see, one had to go through labor, and the other one, amen, by promise, God gave a child. For the labor, of course, had been the work of the flesh. That's a different type of labor, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Some of you got that. For the desolate woman now has more children than the woman who lives with her husband. And you, dear brothers and sisters, are children of the promise, just like Isaac. But you are now being persecuted by those who want to keep the law. Just as Ishmael, the child born by human effort, persecuted Isaac. The child born by the power of the Spirit. But what do the scriptures say about that? Get rid of the slave and her son, for the son of the slave woman will not share the inheritance with the free woman's son. There's the two covenants. There's one, it's a religious spirit. Come on. The religious spirit is killing the true children. It's happening in the earth today. People that live in a religious spirit will persecute those who walk in liberty in Christ. And they will demand that you do all these things to keep the law and to be righteous enough for God. And what happens is they end up stealing or robbing the freedom from that person who had been once free in Christ. And that's why in Galatians 5, Paul said, "Stand fast in the liberty by which Christ has made you free." Don't be entangled again. Don't let anybody put you under that yoke of performance, yoke of bondage. We are called to worship God in spirit and in truth. We are called to abide in the love of God. We are called to love others. That's what we do. That's life and peace in the spirit. Oh, it's too simple. Yes, God made it easy for us. He said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." And much of the church is in bondage, folks. They don't enjoy their Christian walk. Why? Because they're not walking in Christ. And unfortunately, sometimes from the leadership in churches, people are put under this yoke of bondage. And they're being controlled and being manipulated and being intimidated. Come on. So that they become property of the priest or the minister rather than property of Christ. Understanding that we've simply been given a stewardship to watch over and protect his flock and to feed his sheep. But not to have any of our own disciples. Because we belong to Jesus. Attempting to gain God's approval by our own means opens the door to the religious spirit. Why is that? Because it's not based upon the blood of Jesus. But upon our own attempts to be right with God. You see, folks, there was only one sacrifice that was acceptable. Amen? There was one sinless Lamb of God that the Father validated and received as sufficient payment for our sins. That through the blood, we could walk in resurrection. We could walk in new life in Christ. We can walk in a new, brand new identity, a new creation in Christ Jesus. Not to look back, not to go back into the law or back under the law, but to walk in the freedom of Christ. Hallelujah. And when you do that, you have life and peace in the Spirit. You have righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And people begin to see the good fruit. And they say, "I want what you got. I don't know. I'm tired of dead religion, but I want what you got because it's real." And they know when you're faking it. Come on, you got people that knock on your door and they got the biggest fake smile on their face. It's sad. It's sad because there's good people that they want to serve God. They want to love God, but they've been caught up in this quagmire. This religious spirit, this demonic spirit has got a hold of them and it's robbed them of the true essence of life, who is Christ alone. So we love these people and don't disrespect them. Come on, right? Love these people. Show them the real Jesus. Say, "Hey, you guys are stressed out, you know, about a lot of stuff. You're trying too hard. You're never going to make it. You're never going to attempt to do it by yourself. That's why Christ was crucified for us." It all goes back to the cross. That's why Paul said, "I will glory only in the cross of Christ." Only in that, not in my performance, not even in the good things I do for God. I'm going to only glory in the cross. That I've been crucified to the world and the world to me. Now I recognize it's not what I did, it's what Jesus did. Amen. Whew, hallelujah, thank you, Lord. It says in Galatians 5:4, it says, "You become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by law, you've fallen from grace." That's the only time it talks about falling from grace. It's when we attempt to be justified by law, when it means we've fallen out from under relationship back into performance. When you guys get married, when you love somebody, or you're close, you have a good friend, someone you really love, you like hanging out when being with that person. You don't want to just hang out with them because of what you can get from them. If you don't really love that person, then you probably have an agenda, and yeah, I'm going to hang out with them so I can get some from them, right? That's not true friendship. That's not love. But love is, I want to be with this person because I enjoy your company. Do we enjoy the Lord? We don't want to just be like some. It's just God, give me, God, give me, God, give me, God, give me. God wants us to love Him. And the only way we can do that is to open up our hearts and receive His love. As we receive His love, we will love Him. And the more we receive of Him, the more we want to love Him. The more we want to love Him, the more we will serve Him. Why? Because we're going to do it for His joy. When you love people, you do things for their joy. Isn't that right? How many like to please your wife or your husband? Huh? Unless you're completely dysfunctional, right? You're going to want to please your husband and your wife. Happy wife, happy. In Galatians 5 and verse 4, for if you are trying to make yourselves right with God by keeping the law, you have been cut off from Christ. You have fallen away from God's grace. But we who live by the Spirit eagerly wait to receive by faith the righteousness God has promised to us. For when we place our faith in Christ Jesus, there is no benefit in being circumcised or something that we do outwardly in the flesh, such as our works. Or being uncircumcised, what is important is faith expressing itself in love. Faith expressing itself in love. So we're not under a yoke of bondage, are we? We are a free people. Well, how many know, folks, that the enemy wants to put you back under bondage? You know, I'm talking about sometimes you run into people that they're just full of do's and don'ts. Don't. Oh, did you do this? Oh, did you do that? Oh, did you celebrate Christmas? Oh, you did that. Oh, you did it. And they're focused on all this stuff and they're completely missing the point. It's about abiding in Christ. It's about doing the two commandments, which is to love God and to love people. And when you do those two things, you take care. All the rest of it is you're enabled to fulfill. So we don't want to get the cart before the horse. See, sometimes people are trying through all that to somehow earn favor with God. And you can always tell when you're being encountered by someone who has a religious spirit because there's no love. What they're saying is right. Come on, it's not like they're telling a lie. Sometimes maybe, but most of the time, no. What they're doing is actually good, but it's loveless devotion. And that's why sometimes you walk into places and there's a lot of people and a lot of Christian activity and a lot of things going on and people are doing this and doing that. They're not having a good time with it. They're not enjoying the journey. Come on, you walk in and they're some of the coldest people you run across. Why? Because there's a demonic spirit that tries to seek to pull people away from the grace of God to simply just doing stuff for God. But whatever we do must be motivated by God, by the love in our hearts for Him. You please your mate, you please the ones you love because you love them. You do what pleases them because you love them. Amen. It's not because I'm hoping to get something. Oh, Lord, we thank You for the word today. We thank You for the liberty we have in Christ. I trust the Lord has downloaded something. Hallelujah. And the Lord wants us to stay steadfast in His grace. Walk in the grace of God. Abide in Christ. Worship the Lord. Be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Amen. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. What's it talking about? Communion with Him. Abiding in His love. And as you abide in His love, you will bear the fruit of love. Quit nitpicking your brother or your sister, looking for what's broken and what's wrong in them. Focus on loving people. And whenever we go to restore or to correct a brother or sister, it's got to be in love. Otherwise, it will destroy. Father, we just thank You for what You've been doing in our lives. We realize it's by Your grace. Lord, You brought us this far. We didn't bring ourselves here. You brought us this far. Because You began a good work in us. And You're faithful to complete it. Lord, I'm thankful tonight that You are patient with us. Even when we fail You, You still love us. Even when we fail to perform well, You loved us anyways. Lord, we thank You that You love us. And we ask You to change our hearts. Would you just lift your hands right now to the Lord and say, Jesus, change my heart. Make it ever true. Lord, I want to love You. So I want to know You. I want You to reveal Yourself to me. I want You to shed Your love abroad in my heart. Fill me with Your love. Lord, I open the door and say, come, Holy Spirit, and shed Your love abroad in my heart, that I may love God and that I may love people. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.